Hello, and welcome to the second Hope and Firefighting audio. I am Andrew Richardson, sharing with you all I have discovered to facilitate first your understanding and then recovery from depression. This second audio has the same aim as the first, which is to fully embed an understanding of what your depression is all about. But while the first audio was fairly dry and informative, this second audio approaches the issue of understanding depression indirectly. Through what Matthew has to say about how depression takes hold, and then through a little gentle relaxation. So do listen to both of these audios a number of times over the next week or so. This will help to reinforce the very important lessons and learnings that you need to make, that you will really know what a depression is all about, such that it makes real sense to you, and it has become part of you, you might say, for this is vital for depression recovery, and so you can stay free from depression. You will see that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, where now there is just darkness. In the course of this audio, I will lead you into a nice relaxation to reinforce the learnings that you will be making. And so you should be listening quietly and allow 30 minutes or so, knowing that you can be alone and quiet for that time, and certainly do not listen to this while driving a car or engaging in any other activities like that. We are focusing on depression. What exactly is it that causes depression, and how it can be unraveled to be something that is utterly awful? And this is what Matthew has to say on the subject. Now, Matthew wrote to me concerning his depression and what he came to understand was causing it. Now, Matthew was not a client of mine, but having suffered so grievously from depression, having got nowhere from conventional sources, his GP, depression forums and so on, he discovered for himself what was going on. He discovered what human givens had to say, which is the basis for so much of how I work. And then what he did was write to me for confirmation that he had really understood how depression takes over and can unravel and become truly impossible to deal with. And this is what he wrote. And as you listen to it, just consider how much intuitive sense it makes to you and how much your experience of depression mirrors his. Now, Matthew is interested in the process, how depression takes hold and gets worse. He is working through the nuts and bolts of the vicious cycle of depression. So here goes. Depression begins, he says, with some kind of precipitating situation. This is a situation where A, a person's needs are not met, or B, their life is getting nowhere. It could be the loss of a job or the death of a loved one or a big disappointment or a shock. Certainly it's not trivial in any way, but it's not being well dealt with, such that there is a sticking factor. The result is being stuck in an unhappy situation and not moving any closer to where one wants to be. And Matthew has realised that the symptoms themselves become a source of worry, a further roadblock to change. This is so important. First, he says that when depression has set in and tiredness and apathy have tightened their grip, caused by too much dreaming, as we know, it makes any course of evasive action feel almost impossible or overwhelming. Next, Matthew writes, there becomes an awareness of how life is passing by, how difficult any form of action is that could move one closer to where you want to be in life. And this then becomes a source of frightening and depressing thoughts about life being the same forever, never getting to where you want it to be socially, job-wise or anything else. This causes excess emotional arousal and sleep disturbance. And so you are back at the beginning and stuck in a vicious circle where hope goes to be replaced by fear and worry, and where tiredness and useless rumination keep you stuck. Those were my words. But back to Matthew. He then had a question for me. He said this: I know how the human givens model explains that depression is caused by worrying, which causes emotional arousal. What he wants to ask is, what is the typical content of the worrying? He asked me, do a lot of the worries revolve around being stuck? The thought of never getting to where one wants to be in life? Thoughts about how much you're missing out on life or have missed out? And then he understands that the thought of change itself becomes a source of stress. Is that true for you? He says, when in the grip of depression, run down, no drive to do anything, thinking about what you have to do to get in a better place, then this itself can feel overwhelming, discouraging and depressing, and can lead to thoughts about the situation being forever. And when paralyzed by depression, thinking about what you need to do to make changes, without seeing a way to loosen the symptoms to any degree, that's not so paralyzing, how you can get the energy needed to affect change, can just be another source of stress and worry. But then, if one is in the situation, the human given's explanation gives hope that it's possible to loosen the grip of these disabling symptoms, which will eventually make such change possible and manageable. I also think, this is Matthew speaking, that the above situation is especially bad if there is no support. And he is right. Hope is essential. And this is what this first session is about. When you know what is happening and why, then you begin to know that you can recover. And by the end of this first session, you will know. And I don't mean that you'll kind of understand it, but that you will know in your bones. It has become part of you. Matthew goes on, when these two core symptoms, fatigue and lack of motivation, have set in and have started to affect your life, you've got to put up with the possibility of people around you looking down on you or even criticizing you as lazy. These two evil monsters can destroy your capacity to take on any responsibility and reduce your capacity for activity. The last thing you need is to be looked down on or punished for being depressed. If someone's got a cold or a twisted ankle, they get some sympathy. But it's not like that with depression, I have found. Maybe this is one thing that partly explains why depressed people often have low self-confidence. It certainly didn't do my self-confidence or self-esteem much good when I experienced this. And it can also make you feel like you're useless. When you have no drive or energy and can barely manage anything, it can make you feel inferior to all those seemingly busy people around you. It can make you lose faith in your skills, in your talents or abilities, and can make you feel like a waste of space. Again, I think this is another thing that can destroy somebody's self-esteem or self-confidence. It can cause you to avoid things that are demanding, to be afraid of them. If, for example, you're unemployed or single and you get depressed, the symptoms can make everything seem impossible and undermine your confidence to such a degree that it can cause you to avoid these things for fear that you might not be able to cope. There is, for example, the fear that due to your tiredness, you wouldn't be able to keep a job. Now Matthew says, the last time I experienced depression was when I was unemployed. It caused me to avoid seeking work for fear that I wouldn't be able to cope, that I wouldn't have the energy It was the overpowering fear. This is just one more way depression can sabotage your life. Of course, the consequence of such avoidance, if no way is found to face the above fear, is that this just becomes another source of gnawing stress when in that situation, about being there forever. And so you worry, dream too much, and wake up feeling even worse. Matthew concludes, all of this spiraling comes out from just two symptoms, lack of drive and lack of energy. The human givens model is right. It's the only model that makes sense to what I've experienced. And then he again says that the videos on the YouTube channel Depression Optimist really are quite refreshing, especially the analogy with illness and the twisted ankle. So do follow up on these. All right? Now, before we do some relaxation and trance, I want to say two more things, and it is these. That if you are dreaming as much as you can in a desperate and ultimately doomed attempt to clear your head of all the rubbish that has been accumulating, then good wave deep sleep will be pushed out. Deep wave sleep is essential too. We restore ourselves, we heal our body, and we prepare in other ways for the next day. For depressed people, a lack of deep wave sleep explains why they often will suffer from IBS, fibromyalgia, and aches and pains and physical tiredness. It's all part of the malfunction, physical and mental, that limits capacity. Like a car running on the wrong fuel, and like a car that is malfunctioning, the more you press the accelerator, the worse the problem gets. You're beginning to get it, I hope. We have heard from Matthew. Here is what some other of my clients have said after they have recovered. They talk of being locked in a burning room, the burning room of their mind, with the impossibility of escape, and the flames just get closer. Of being bound securely on a treadmill that cannot be stopped, so that all you can do is to keep running despite utter exhaustion. Or becoming obsessed with the idea of suicide as the one certain means of escape, and this is so terrifying. Of a fearful terror born of complete helplessness that then fuels anger, or a desperate isolation born of shame, and then indeed the full gamut of overwhelming and drowning emotions. Like a car that has been flooded with petrol. I keep stopping, said one of my clients, stopping with a thud and a gurgle and can't move again. And at times there is an ice-cold clarity of thought, said another, however fleeting and beguiling. And finally, this from a recent client to explain what was happening to her. I can't control my emotions or keep them where they can help me. I feel saturated in them, exhausted, and no other part of me is getting a look in. So I just cannot help myself. And as this understanding comes, you can begin to focus on the tricks you play on yourself. Black and white thinking, perhaps. This means that the thought that all your problems are forever, that you are the sole cause of all this mess, that the real world, which is a world of shades of grey, just goes out the window. And talking of windows, that you are so stressed and aroused and focused on yourself, that's as if you were riding on a train travelling at 500 miles per hour. So you just cannot see what is there, out through the window, and that you can't slow down, and so you then could see what is there. How to slow down is what the second week is all about. I call it the firefighting stage, though you may be surprised that this could already be happening for you, as your understanding brings light bulb moments and hope. So as you ponder this thought of hope, just be sitting quietly now and close your eyes, and I would like you to come with me into a little relaxation so that you can find it a little easier to imagine. So just sit back in that chair, or lie back on that bed or sofa, and just notice the weight of your body resting and nestling into the softness of the chair or bed, or sensing part or parts of your body against some hard surface. And as you do that, you could even now be aware of changes to that part of your body, which is a sign that you are now beginning to relax or deepen in a way that is unique to you. And you can imagine how it is for you when you begin to relax, or how it might be this time. Some people are aware that the rhythm of their breathing slows down, while others notice that their shoulders or arms or legs begin to feel a little different. And others can be aware of tensions lifting from their jaw or around their eyes or across their forehead or from the crown of their head. Where are you relaxing now, or are aware of relaxing now, or imagining how you might relax now if you chose to do so at some unconscious level? There is a ladder, and you may be ready now just to step down that ladder. One step down, a second step down, lower and lower now, down to a place that is still and quiet, where time slows right down. And in this place, deep, deep down and peaceful, you know what is true and what is real, don't you? You know that depression is an exhausted brain. That is all. And you must rest your mind. You are sane and normal, just very tired. Imagine a duck. The legs are going like mad under the surface. Like your mind, that is all. And you're dreaming hard and long at night, like that duck is pedaling away, and this is tiring and just making everything worse. And you know about dreaming. You know it is essential and amazing, but can get out of hand. Maybe it is like that for you right now. But this will be quickly changing now, right? Because you know a new day is dawning, the fog is clearing, right? Imagine an unruly dog. Speak the right words calmly and give him a little of what he needs, and he will settle down. Your mind can settle too, because the light of knowledge is dawning. Have you had your aha moments? Where are you noticing it? You have been worrying too much, that is all, and dreaming too much, that is all, and slowly sinking. So now you can begin to rise up. You now know that all of that excess baggage needs to be thrown overboard, You can now know why you dream, for a very simple reason: to let go of the emotions that came up that day and that are still there at the end of the day, unresolved and incomplete and nagging away and filling you up and clogging you up. And by being able to let go of these emotions every night by dreaming, those vital emotional templates are kept in good walking order for when you really need them next. And dreaming dissolves the strong, unresolved emotions of that day by acting the emotion out in our dreaming imagination. The effect is a bit like a circle being completed. Dreaming is your emotional flush toilet, so you are empty and alert for the next day. But dreaming takes up a lot of energy, and so you can be overloaded if you have to dream a lot, because you are worrying and ruminating and anxious. And that is why depressed people will be woken up by a brain that can dream no more, in a state of exhaustion. How have you been when you awake? Has the waking up time been the worst time of the day for you? And when you think about it, have you spent a large part of your day worrying and ruminating round and round, back and forth, resolving nothing and just banging your head time and again on the same question, or going round and round the same circle as a hamster on a wheel? You remember Matthew, worrying about worrying, stuck and ashamed, feeling useless, no energy. But Matthew is fading. He is, isn't he? You feel sympathy for him, but you now have hope and energy is returning and the fog is lifting. It really is. Can you feel yourself slowing down? Can you? And where is it? There is a little bit of light. Before, the train of your thoughts and worries were hurtling along at 200 miles an hour in complete darkness. But now, you know that when the dawn breaks, you can begin to see shapes. What shapes can you make out as you slow down? Is there already a light at the end of the tunnel? That light is hope. Hope that comes from knowing there will be change. It can be easy. What can you imagine being different already? Lighter, smaller steps, doing different things every day. Maybe forcing yourself, but then finding it is okay. Be patient. In that thick forest, the trees are not lost. Be still and let the trees find you. You are no longer lost. You have been found. You are finding yourself. Relaxing. And when you are ready, and you see something clear and different that you will be doing, and then just slowly listen to this countdown of my words and be ready to open your eyes. 5, 4, 3, 2, ready now, 1.
This brings us to the end of this second Hope and Firefighting audio. Do keep listening to it. And don't worry if you think you might not be getting it and that you are not yet feeling any better. There is much more to come, and whatever you are doing right now is right for you right now. Do, though, be aware of what is changing as you get ready for the third and fourth audios of this first set. Over the next week, building hope for change and firefighting to become calmer